Wing TV, with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Friday, December 17th, and you're watching Wing TV. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. This is our special weekend edition. Before we get started, we have a big announcement. Starting on Monday, we're going to begin a four-part series on the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, next year is going to be the 10-year anniversary of this tragic event. And what we're going to have is people from the Oklahoma Bombing Investigative Committee on. These people include 12-year State Representative Charles Key, Brigadier General V.K. Parton, author and researcher Christopher Emery, plus a lot more. And folks, we guarantee you that you'll never see the Oklahoma City bombing in the same way again after these shows are done. So
that's
those
right.
are going to start on Monday. Now, as for today's show, one of the greatest joys we have here at Wing TV is that on a daily basis, we get to talk to some of the greatest minds of our generation. Well, today's guest, Mr. Lindsey Williams, would undoubtedly be included in this category. Lindsey is the author of, among other books, Syndrome of Control, To Seduce a Nation, You Can Live, and also, probably his most famous book, The Energy Non-Crisis. And he's also been on this videotape here, The Energy Non-Crisis, which he gave in front of the Freeman Institute. And folks, it is astounding, the information he comes out with. So, Lindsey, welcome to Wing TV.
Welcome.
Well, thank you, Victor and Lisa. I appreciate so much you allowing me the privilege to be on the station today to let the world know that there is no gasoline shortage. There is no crisis in energy. We have as much crude oil on the North Slope of Alaska as there is in Saudi Arabia. There is one pool of oil alone on the North Slope of Alaska that probably is the largest pool of oil in the world. It definitely is the largest pool of oil in the United States of America.
Well,
and it has been classified and not released to the American people.
Well, with that preface, we don't like to beat around the bush, so I think we can already tell your answer. But there's quite of lately, and I'm sure you know about this, some prominent people in the alternative research field who've been crowing about peak oil and all these gloom and doom scenarios.
Right.
So let me ask you point blank. Are we in jeopardy of running out of oil?
We are not in jeopardy. Peak oil is a total misnomer. It is a part of the whole program of intentionally misinformation. Senator Hugh Chance from the state of Colorado wrote the foreword to my book, The Energy Non-Crisis. And by the way, the only place on the face of this earth that you will find documented names, dates, places, and proof as to this huge pool of oil that's up there is in my book, The Energy Non-Crisis. There's a chapter entitled, If Gull Island Didn't Blow Your Mind, This Will. Senator Hugh Chance came to the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline, spent a week with me. He interviewed all of the top oil company officials. He saw mock-ups of the field. He was given all of the information he wanted. He writes in the foreword to my book, Lindsey, I was sitting in the Senate of the state of Colorado when the men came from Washington, D.C. to brief us as state senators as to the energy crisis, why there were lines at the gas pump, why the price had gone from 35 cents a gallon to $1.50. Now, of course, it's gone to $2.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, Lindsey, almost everything that I was told in that briefing by the men from Washington, D.C., to me as a state senator and the other senators of the state of Colorado, was an intentional misrepresentation of the truth. He said we were lied to, we were intentionally misbriefed, and he states this in the foreword to my book, granting, giving
right.
great credibility to it. He saw it with his own eyes, he experienced it, and this peak oil idea today is nothing but one more method of attempting to do what they're doing at the gas pump, continue raising the price of a gallon of gasoline, because every time that the price of a gallon of gasoline goes to $2 a gallon or more at the gas pump, the people who control the world, and believe you me, there are people who control
oh, yeah.
the world.
We believe that.
Those people are making over $60 billion per year whenever the price of gasoline goes to $2 a gallon at the gas pump.
Okay, Mr. Williams, we need to repeat that. Peak oil is a manufactured construct. It's not genuine.
Peak oil is complete a manufacture of the powers that be for the purpose of doing what they want to do.
Okay, now, for all of you out there who go toward the inclination that this is proven science, you just heard this, and we're going to talk about the deliberate planning to increase your energy costs that began in the late 70s. So why don't you tell everyone how this came about?
Well, it was by the providence of God that I found out what I did. I was a missionary in the state of Alaska. They announced they were going to build the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline, and that 25,000 pipeliners would converge on the state of Alaska to build that pipeline. My first thought was 25,000 of the most wicked, cussing, just drinking, just folks on the face of the earth. They must need some spiritual guidance. So I went to the 9 major oil companies that form Alaska Pipeline Service Company for the building of that pipeline, and I said, don't you need a chaplain on the pipeline? Well, they said, no, we don't know what to do with you. Well, they finally allowed me there. I think they wanted to get rid of me. After all, I'd been back so many times to their offices. They allowed me the northern 7 camps on the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline. About 6 months later, they came to me, Mr. R.H. King, personnel relations man, did, and said, you're saving us thousands of dollars of counseling fees. We would like to give you executive status and make life a little easier up here for you. I said, well, what does that mean? He said, go any place you'd like to, see anything you'd like to see, and we would like to invite you to sit in on our board meetings in an advisory capacity in order to help the relationship between management and labor. What I saw over the next 3 years changed my life. I had the opportunity to sit with, be in board meetings with, eat across the table from, staying in the dorms with the most powerful, manipulative, controlling men on the face of the earth who talked about controlling presidents and congressmen and nations and OPEC and the price of oil. What I heard and saw changed me, because if someone had asked me in 1980, you believe there's a group of people who wish to control the world, I would have laughed at them and said, who are you, a John Bircher? If someone had asked me after I wrote my book, The Energy Non-Crisis, do you believe there's a group of people who control the world, manipulate presidents and currencies, and control OPEC, I would have said, not only do I believe it, I sat and listened to them talk about it. I lived my story. It is not fiction. It's
one of the biggest.
It's in my book, Energy Non-Crisis.
One of the biggest discoveries that you found out was that there is an oil field that stretches from Prudhoe Bay all the way across Canada, that there's at least a 200-plus-year supply there, and you were very excited about this. You thought this would be headline news all across the world, yet the next day you found out that the government immediately pounced on this and classified this information. Why don't they want America to be energy independent?
If America were energy independent, they could not take the price of a gallon of gas to $2 a gallon. The World Bank would not make over $60 billion a year in a form of taxation. The price that we're paying for a gallon of gasoline at the gas pump is a form of taxation. Now, if the World Bank came in and said, we're going to tax your income next week, oh, you'd rise up in arms and say, nobody gets that but Internal Revenue. If they do it at the gas pump at $2 a gallon, where it used to be 35 cents a gallon and could be less than a dollar a gallon tomorrow morning if they wanted it to be, then they would not get this money. This is the reason. The name of the game is control, power, manipulation. It's all a part of their controlling you and me, America, and the world, including our president and our government.
Okay, I'm going to repeat this statement that I saw on a website where your book is advertised. John D. Rockefeller bought the U.S. government after the Supreme Court outlawed his monopoly in 1911. Do the Rockefellers own the United States government?
I don't think I made that particular statement. It might have been in someone else's book, and I do not call the names of any particular families, because today it's in the hand of, I like to call it, the World Bank, because they basically are the ones that get the end of the money. You see, OPEC, people think OPEC controls the price of oil, of crude oil. Not on your life. The people who control the price of a barrel of crude oil are those who sit behind the computers in New York and London and tell OPEC every day what they're going to give them for that barrel of oil. Then they wind up charging us at the gas pump as a form of worldwide taxation.
Right. Now, if everyone watching right now, if they think, well, what does Lindsay William know about this? Well, there's also, you cite other people who have spoken out on the subject of oil. There's five-term Congressman Larry McDonald, there's Ronald Reagan, and there's also James Watt, the Energy Secretary. Tell us what they've said about this abundance of oil in the world.
I was on a speaking tour with a congressman in Texas one time, George Hanson, back when he was senator in the United States, I think he was, from the state of Idaho. He said to me one day after we'd gotten to know each other through a number of speaking engagements, he said, Lindsay, if you're crazy enough to write it, I'll give it to you. And I said, what do you mean? He said, I wouldn't dare put it in a book. He said it probably cost me my life. But he said, if you're crazy enough as an author to put it in a book, I'll dictate it on cassette tape and you put it in a book. I did. And about three quarters of my book, Syndrome of Control, is everything that your listening audience and you today are asking me for. I hope that you'll get that book. All you need to do is dial 800-321-2900, get my videotape entitled The Energy Non-Crisis, and let me give you a set of all four of my books as a gift just by getting that videotape. Then you will be able to see for yourself what it would take us hours on the air to put onto a program like this.
Right.
1973 was the first announced energy crisis, and in the 70s, it was even planned to quadruple, extremely at the far end of the spectrum, to quadruple the amount of our electric bills. Who was doing this planning, and who benefits from bringing America to its knees economically?
The same people that are pricing gasoline at $2 a gallon for gas pump are the same ones that did it back then. There is enough natural gas, and natural gas is the cleanest method of producing electricity there is. Doesn't affect the ecology in any adverse manner. There is as much natural gas on the North Slope of Alaska, there is enough natural gas on the North Slope of Alaska to supply the entire United States of America for over 200 years if every other natural gas well in America were cut off. At the projected rate of increased consumption, electric bills could be coming down, America's economy could thrive, and we could have everything we needed if only they would allow a natural gas pipeline to be built across the state of Alaska, transversing it on the same corridor that's already there, not disturbing the ecology in any manner. Yet today that natural gas is being pumped back into the ground at the rate, and this is the most startling thing, this could be a program within itself, 1 billion cubic feet. You heard me correctly, not billion. 1 billion cubic feet of natural gas are being pumped back into the ground every day on the North Slope of Alaska because there's no place to put it, and they will not allow it to come to the American people because they couldn't control us if they allowed it to.
And I think we want to reiterate that point, that you're not advocating ripping up the Alaskan scenery or the environment. You want a pipeline to run directly beside the one that's already there, correct?
The present corridor was built to accommodate three pipelines, two crude oil and one natural gas. After the first crude oil pipeline was built, the powers that be said, you positively will not build anymore. The American people were never told what they have on their own soil that is being put back into the ground, and nobody reaping the benefits of it. 1 billion cubic feet of natural gas every 24 hours pumped back into the ground that comes up with the oil. They use 48 747 jet type engines in order to do it. It is an atrocity that the American people should rise up in arms and say we've had enough.
Now, Lindsay, let me ask you about this element of peak oil. Whenever this subject is mentioned, it always seems to go hand in hand now with something called depopulation. Mm-hmm. And it's a very horrifying notion, and we've been trying to warn everybody as much as we can that whenever anyone starts talking about peak oil and depopulation, in other words, wiping people out, how scared and how dire are these warnings and how horrible is it?
Oh, it's for real. If someone had said to me, do you really think there's a group of people to control the world? Positively. They have an agenda. They know what they're doing. I heard them talk about a 30-year plan for the Arabs. I know exactly what they're doing today. I've watched them carry it out meticulously, what they said they were going to do. Everything you're saying is true.
And what do you think about the people advocating this depopulation agenda?
Well, I don't know how to how to answer your question in a matter of 15 minutes. I would say this. Please dial that 800 number. Again, let me give it to you. 800-321-2900. Let me give you a set of all four of my books when you get my videotape, The Energy Non-Crisis, and you'll be able to see the very things you just talked about. I lived it. I was there. This is not fiction. This is fact. This is for real. I give names, dates, and places and times and prove it. If a person says, well, what can we do at a time like this? First thing is to be able to prove what you say.
Right.
Be knowledgeable. Document it. And that's where my books come in. Then when you're able to do this, then you will be able to know the mindset of these people, how they think, why they do what they do, and if you forget everything else is said in these few minutes on this program, remember one statement. The name of the game is control.
Right.
Don't allow them to control you. But the only way you can keep them from controlling you is know the issues, document it, and be able to spare your own family. And that's the reason I wrote the books, six of them, but I'd like to give you four of them if you'll just call in and get them.
Your speech at the Freeman Institute, you pointed out that in 1973, energy was chosen as a way to control the economy and subsequently control the American people. Explain to everyone the percentages involved when we buy our gas at the gas pump. What are we paying for?
Energy controls every facet of every human being's life. It is probably the only thing, crude oil and, of course, natural gas, that they could use in order to control the populace. It's even a greater control factor than food. Think of it. Everything that comes to your hardware store, everything to your grocery store, even the plastic in your home or your automobile, the paper that you write on or your book that you read, every area of life is controlled. It has a part in energy, in that crude oil that comes out of the ground, yet it comes out free of charge. Now, why don't they take the price of that gallon of gasoline back down so that the American economy could flourish again? All of this works into a total control factor.
Now, you, one of the most interesting points you brought up is how our oil companies, before 1973, they were independent, but they became nationalized.
Right.
Explain more about this concept.
Saudi Arabia does not want the price of oil to go where it is. It is not their desire, the Arab countries even. It is done by the people who control even OPEC and the Saudis, and it's all done for the purpose of a control factor. You would have to read it in order to get the entire story of why this is that way. So please get my book, Energy Non-Crisis, and see the minute details, which would take a few hours of discussion.
Right.
You brought up the framers of the Constitution in your speech at Freeman Institute and the sacrifices that they ultimately paid for freedom, for giving us this wonderful gift of America. Do we have a significant percentage of the population now willing to make those same sacrifices, do you think?
I believe that the American people are going to do the same thing that they did back in those years again. I have seen within the past few months a grassroots element of American people that are saying we've had enough, we're going to do something about it, and we will see this thing changed. Yes, what the founders and the writers of the Constitution did back in those days, please get my book, To Seduce a Nation. It is a biblical study of the Constitution. And you'll be amazed at how these men paid the price and what they did in order to give us the freedom that we must get back. America is a republic, not a democracy. Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution says Congress shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government. But yet they're telling us we've got a democracy. Why? Because under a democracy, it's we the sheeple. Under a republic, it's we the people.
Right.
And I think the American people are saying we're willing to be people again and have our voice heard.
Well, as you point out near the end of your speech at the Freeman Institute, that throughout history, every time there's been an empire that reaches its pinnacle, the controlling elite do everything in their power to bring this empire to its knees. Lindsay, this is what's happening to America right now, isn't it?
Oh, positively it's what's happening to America. The only difference is, because of our form of government and because of our Constitution, which we must get back to, there is a possibility of sparing this one.
We can only hope. We can only hope. And folks, right now the book is called The Energy Non-Crisis. It's fantastic. Also, the video by the same name. Once you see this, you'll know all of this peak oil nonsense is something that's being pushed on us to justify what those in control want to do to us. Lindsay, before we go, I'd like to leave you with this quote that you gave right near the end of your speech. You said that you, at one point, decided to stay free because you refused to be a slave.
Mm-hmm.
What a wonderful way
Absolutely.
To end this show. Please elaborate on that for the remaining minutes that we have.
The greatest quote that I could give would be from the Bible. Ye shall know the truth. Now, I'm going to misquote it first, so don't call me a heretic before you hear the whole thing. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will scare you to death. No, quite to the contrary, that's not what the Bible says.
Right.
If you want to be free, you must know the truth. Truth does not frighten a person who really wants to know it. Instead, it informs them, and an informed populace is the thing that these people do not want, because when you know the issues, you can do something about it. So, yes, we can be free, and we must be free as an American people.
And that's such a key concept, because to not be controlled, you can then be free. We have to be independent thinkers, not conditioned thinkers.
Right.
Lindsay, thank you so much for being on our show today.
Thank you, sir.
The book is called The Energy Non-Crisis. We definitely want to have Lindsay back again next year to talk more about this element of control that's being exerted on a global level. And just thank you so much for cutting through the nonsense.
Right, and we urge you to take a deeper, broader look at peak oil and see it for what it really is.
Right. Thank you so much, Lindsay.
Victor and Lisa, God bless you, and thank you for telling the truth.
Well, it's
thank
been
you,
our
sir.
Pleasure. And we'll be back, as we said, on Monday with the beginning of our 4-part series on the Oklahoma City bombing. Folks, this is going to blow the lid off it. You don't want to miss it. Have a good weekend. We'll be back on Monday.
Take care.